What year is it? 2024. Soon to be 2025. But what does it mean, 2024? We sometimes refer to it being 2024 AD, Anno Domini, which is Latin, if you didn't know. The year of our Lord. 2024, the year of our Lord. In other words, it's been approximately 2,024 years since the birth of Jesus. And so all of us, the whole of Biker, the whole of Newcastle, they live, they operate according to that time, a time that is grounded, that's zeroed in this historical fact of Jesus' birth. And yet, the vast majority of people in Biker and Newcastle have no care whatsoever, no recognition whatsoever, no appreciation whatsoever for the significance that the birth of Jesus Christ has had on human history. As someone has said, the hinge of history is found on the door of a Bethlehem stable. So I want us to spend just a few moments tonight looking at the significance of this birth, the implications of this baby born back then in Bethlehem. We're considering what happened when the angel appeared to the shepherds, and we're told that they were frightened. They were frightened, terrified. Shepherds were notoriously irreligious. The rabbis, the spiritual leaders of that day, they tended to group shepherds alongside folk, well, like prostitutes, like tax collectors and so forth. But this angel who appears to the shepherds, this angel bypasses the big city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was where all the leading religious leaders lived. He even bypasses a place called Herodium, which was near Bethlehem. That's where King Herod lived. They miss all of that. Instead, God sends his angels to this group of shepherds, to these outcasts in the fields keeping watch over their flocks at night. God chooses them, the ones presumed to be beyond God's care, beyond God's interest, but God sees them, God chooses them to be the first to hear this good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. I always think, you know, if we were to stop there with just good news of great joy, you know, that sort of promise is so subjective, isn't it? It depends on who it is listening to this announcement of good news of great joy. For example, to a shepherd, good news of great joy might mean, well, a good price for their sheep when I take them down to Jerusalem to sell them. Good news of great joy to someone suffering with illness might probably mean, well, there's a remedy, there's medication available. How such a message is received is so very subjective, based on who it is listening. I wonder what you would think would be good news of great joy for you tonight. Actually, this good news of great joy is for everyone. For all people, we're told. Regardless of age, regardless of their background, regardless of whatever we might use to distinguish different groups within society, but this announcement is for everyone. Every one of you, everyone out there, everyone in Biker, in Newcastle, in the UK, in the whole world, this is good news of great joy. So what is it? Well, the angel tells him in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This baby is a Savior. A Savior has been born. Now again, that word Savior, it means to someone, it very much depends on what they're wanting to be saved from. Whether you're a football team needing a new manager, we need a Savior, or we will be relegated. If you're a country in political turmoil, as we see in our news today, they need a Savior. They need a new government of sorts to save them from a complete disaster. It's all relative, isn't it, what a Savior might mean to whoever's listening. This child, who brings good news of great joy. This child born in Bethlehem is a Savior, but from what? For whom? Well, as we've listened to the scripture readings tonight, we heard how another angel had appeared to Joseph. Joseph had been told not to be afraid, not to be concerned, to take Mary as his wife. It wasn't that Mary had been unfaithful to him as he thought she had been. It wasn't that she had gotten pregnant by another man. No, Joseph's told that Mary's child has been conceived by God, by the power of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit at work on Mary. And therefore, Joseph, this child will be a special child. Matthew 1, verse 21, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So this newborn Savior that must be named Jesus, don't call him Joseph or John or any other name. Give him that name, which means salvation. This Savior will save people from their sins. Well, why do we need saving from sin? Is this one of those biblical descriptions meant to put the fear of God in us all, you know? Well, our sins are serious, you see. Our sins are the evidence that we have a sinful nature. In other words, we are not sinners against God because we sin. Rather, we are sinners because we have this innate capacity to sin. We have this natural tendency to resist God. It's like a rule, a principle within us that means we will instinctively repel God away. It's like gravity, you know, that principle that occurs all over the planet. A law that always pulls whatever you let go of downwards. Well, our sinful nature is like that. It's like a law within us, a principle that always pulls us away from God. So we don't submit to him as we should. We don't love him as we should. We don't obey him as we should. We don't want him as we should. All of us sin against our Creator, because all of us have this nature within us. Obviously, how we sin will vary, of course. That's why, for example, we have prisons. We have seen recently in France that terrible, terrible story of Gisèle Pelicot and what happened to her. Thank God we have prisons. Because for some, the way they've sinned is terrible. They've done something so bad, even society would see it as wrong. But for others, their sin isn't deemed that bad, really. It deserves imprisonment. But when we recognize who it is we're sinning against, ultimately, when we remember it's against God that we have sinned, whatever it may be, then we realize what the Bible tells us, that all sin is serious. Before God, it's not so much what it is we do wrong that makes it so serious, rather it's who we have sinned against that deems it so severe. It's against Almighty God. It's against the God who holds your life in his hand tonight. The God who made us. The God who still loves us. It's against him, and therefore that's why all sin deserves punishment. It's because of the extremity of the person we've sinned against that all our sin deserves such extreme punishment in hell. That's why the birth of this Savior is such good news of great joy for all the people, because all people, because of sin, deserves hell. Friends, we need saving from our sin. We need saving from all the wrong we do or the wrong we say. But thank God, Jesus was born. Jesus was born to rescue us from what our sin will lead us to. What do I mean by that? Well, You know, it wasn't until the late 1940s or early 50s that they discovered there actually is a link between smoking and cancer. Would you believe it? Prior to that, you see, smoking was fashionable. People were photographed looking very cool and attractive and handsome if they had a cigarette in their hand. You were encouraged to smoke. In fact, some said, you know, if you take up smoking, you'll breathe even better than you do now. So what people considered normal turned out to be seriously damaging to their health. When we live as most of the world does today, when we follow what appears for many to be the normal way of life, in other words, living life without any real or meaningful reference to God, it may seem fine tonight. It may seem, well, why do I need God? I've been doing all right so far. But it turns out, in fact, to be deadly serious for us. So serious that that loving God sent his one and only Son into this sinful, God-rejecting world to save us from it. The Bible tells us that the person who sins will die from their sins. That's why death is such a feature of this life, because our sin is such a feature of this life, with physical death now and later eternal death in hell. But thank God Jesus was born. He was born as a child, as one of us, to grow up into an adult and eventually to be nailed to a Roman cross. Jesus was born to suffer and die in our place. God sent his Son for him to bear the punishment that you and I deserve, for his sinless, perfect Son to become, as it were, a lightning rod to absorb God's wrath at our sin. And that's what he did. He suffered and died, and then 3 days later he was raised to life again. Friends, without knowing Jesus as your Savior, you must face God's wrath on your own. Without a Savior, you will have to pay the penalty yourself for your sin. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God there is a way of escape. There's a way of rescue in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is able to save all who come to him in faith. Whoever, literally, friends, whoever comes to Jesus Christ and confesses their sinful state, who comes to him acknowledging their need of a Savior, and who by faith receives him as their Savior, Jesus truly saves. He truly forgives them of all their sin, and they have the certainty of eternal life beyond death. That's the good news of great joy to all people. It's for all people. And even today, even tonight, is offered to all who will believe. There's a great passage in the Bible where the Apostle Peter is stood and he's preaching to a crowd, a far bigger crowd than this tonight. But there he is, he's talking to them about Jesus Christ. He tells them it was their fault that the Lord Jesus had been crucified and killed on a Roman cross. It says in Acts chapter 2, Peter's words pierced their heart. And they said to him and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what a lot of them did that very day. They had heard, first of all, the bad news. They had heard, as you've heard tonight, of their sinful condition. They heard that first. And then they realized how good the good news of Jesus Christ is. And they believed it. They accepted the offer of Jesus Christ. By faith, they took him as their Lord and Savior, and they joined the local church. Friends, to those of us who tonight realize how serious our sin is, and therefore how terrible a situation we are in without a Savior, then, friends, Jesus Christ born on Christmas Day really is the best news of greatest joy you will ever hear in all your life. So may God help all of us, even this evening, to see this for ourselves and by faith take Jesus as our Savior and Lord. If you want to find out a bit more about this, there are these books available. They're free as you go out the door at the back in the porch there. Do take it all with you. Do take it and read it. It's very short, but it explains more and more this person of Jesus Christ and what he can do for you. Well,